I have been thinking a lot about prayer this summer. Our readings for the last few weeks have had things to say about the ways that we communicate with God, and life itself has had me thinking about what we do with our prayers and how it is that God responds. The news of last weekend was painful to watch and difficult to listen to, and we prayed and think about those people who lost their lives and people who are still grieving right now, who have grieved not even from those communities, from far and wide. I went to a ministerial alliance meeting this week and we talked about what we could do in our community to help all of us to have a sense of how we could make life be different so these things wouldn't happen. And we prayed together. And I wondered what would happen with our prayers. Our national church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, was in session this week, and I watched lots of it online, and prayers were said and prayers were given, and they were powerful prayers, prayers for justice, prayers for those who are hungry, prayers for those whose needs go unmet, and prayers that we would respond to all of that. There have been prayers for friends and family who are in need and who are in pain. On my laptop at home, there has been an electronic sticky note on the screen, and it's been there for months, and it says, "The Red Woman and Her Prayers for Fire. What do you do when your faith fails you? What do you do when you think your God is not listening?" And then it says, "I will not leave you orphaned." It has been months since I wrote that. I was sitting and I was watching Game of Thrones. So if you are a fan of Game of Thrones, you might recognize that name, the Red Woman. It is the character Melisandre, and she is known as the Red Woman or the Red Priestess, partly because she has bright red hair and she dresses all in red, but she's rather mysterious and also rather disturbing character. She serves her god known as the Lord of Light, but her actions are often dark and sinister. She can manipulate both shadow and fire, and she frequently uses fire as a weapon against her enemies. In season 6 of Game of Thrones, Melisandre left the storyline. We thought she was gone for good, but as the series ended this winter, the Red Woman returned. If you didn't watch, or you didn't pay attention to all the fuss that was going on, there was this huge battle between the living people and between the White Walkers, who are whites. They are dead. They are the walking dead, and they seemed impossible to defeat. Normal weapons had no power against them, but the good guys knew that fire was one way to stop them. And so when Melisandre returned to the story, she offers her help to the heroes. She is able to change their metal weapons into torches, and so they are hopeful that those burning torches held by hundreds of soldiers might somehow stop this invading army that seems unstoppable. And yet, as good a trick as it isn't enough to stop the hordes who continue to march upon the castle, and when one gets knocked down, it seems like there's another one right behind it. The heroes have managed to dig a trench around the castle, which they plan to set fire to keep the whites from killing them all. And these creatures are terrifying, awful. And to make things worse, they are fighting in the midst of a horrible snowstorm, and things have not gone well. The trench goes unlit, and it seems as if all hope is lost. Queen Daenerys was supposed to fly in over the castle with her dragon, set this trench on fire, and all would be well, but the storm has prevented her from getting the signal from the castle. And then, Melisandre exits the castle grounds and makes her way to the trench. She confidently puts her hands on the wooden trenches and she starts to utter her spell, and nothing happens. The fire doesn't come. And you can see the surprise in her face, and then it quickly changes to doubt and to fear. What do you do when your faith fails you? She continues to speak the words over and over, and things get really tense, and the White Walkers keep coming and coming, and they're getting nearer and nearer, and you can see the anxiety in Melisandre's face, and she keeps saying these prayers again and again, and her posture is as stiff as a rail, and it's awful. She is their last chance, and she knows it. What do you do when it seems that your God is not listening? And then at the last moment, the trench is light, and the living have a bit more time to defend the castle and their lives. What should we do when we don't feel certain about our faith? When praying is difficult and when questions go unanswered. And what was so striking to me about that particular scene was the look on her face of surprise that her prayers weren't being answered and that her God was not serving her the way that he had always done in the past. What do we do when praying is difficult and questions go unanswered? In the chunk of scripture that happens between last week's gospel and today's, Jesus stopped what he was doing and he said to the disciples, "Don't worry about this life. Don't worry about your life, about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? If you can't do something as little as that, why do you keep worrying about all of the rest of it? Don't get yourself in a panic about what you are to eat and what you are to drink. God is going to take good care of you. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is delighted to give you the best that he has." Jesus called his friends to think about the birds in the air who don't have a job, who don't have a salary, and yet they manage to eat every day. Or the flowers in the field, they don't sew or weave or even shop for new clothing, and yet they are dressed in beauty every day. And he says, if God is going to do such good work for the birds and the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, don't you think that God will take care of you? Have no fear, little flock. Sometimes that's all we seem to remember of that verse. We leave off what I think is the important part, which says, it is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus followed that up by calling his followers to not get invested in a lot of material possessions, to share what we have with the poor, to invest ourselves joyfully in giving of the gifts that we have. And he says, be ready for action because you don't know when God is going to come back. You don't know when God will need you, so be ready for anything. Which doesn't mean that life will be easy. It almost guarantees that life will be difficult, and in fact, it is, and we know it is. There are things about our lives that are painful and hard and difficult. If it isn't what's going on in our own household, it's our neighborhood, our community, our country, our world. There are difficult things happening every day. Circumstances may come that knock you off your feet and make you wonder if God is really listening to your voice, and your faith may feel shaken. But Jesus never promised us an easy life. What he did promise is that the Holy Spirit would be with us always, that no matter what happens, God will always love us and will not leave us or orphan us. God will not abandon us. Jesus promised, no pinky swear needed, Jesus promised that the Father wants us to have good things. God wants us to be fed and nourished and sheltered. God wants that for all of his children, which means that we have a job to do to help and make sure that those things happen. God is depending upon us to care for each other. But most importantly, God wants us to remember that he has promised to give us the kingdom, and what better promise could there be? That when my life here is done, the kingdom of God will be mine. That I will be surrounded by God's love and God's wonder. What more glorious promise could we need? I believe that prayer works, but I don't always think that I don't think it always works the way that we want it to. When we yell at God, when we beg God, when we lie awake at night crying and saying, God, are you even listening to me? And we wonder where God is, and everything in us is saying, please, God, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what's important. And those prayers are so often not said for us, but said for other people. that anguished feeling of there is nothing I can do but pray. In all of those moments, God is with us, sharing in our anguish and in our pain, and the message is always the same. Do not be afraid. Believe in me. Believe in my promises. Promises like these. God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have not a book of promises, we have a library full of promises from God that come to us in God's word saying, don't be afraid, I am with you, I will carry you, I will strengthen you. And these are not shallow promises. They are not the promises that we made to each other as kids or that we made to our kids as parents. These are strong and true and unbroken promises. We can be shallow beings and we forget. We forget what we have promised. We forget what God has promised to us. But we need to remember when we come to God with our prayers that our God is with us and our faith in God's word is warranted. Our prayers never go unheard, and there is always an answer. It might not be the answer that we were looking for, but there is always an answer. I am with you. You are mine. You are not alone. You are not orphaned. I promise you. It is my good pleasure, God says, that the kingdom is and was and will be yours, now and forever. Amen.